thanks for tuning in. You got Ray Jarvis and I live right here in Lower Manhattan. You already know the number, but I'll shout it out again, 888-808-1019. You call me up, you be part of the conversation here tonight. And it's May 2nd, which means it's Derby Day. It's also a very special day in my household, my family. Happy birthday, very happy birthday to my dad. WFAN original, Tom from Dumont, who, I don't know, might be listening at this hour. Probably not, but it's okay, I guess. But yeah, happy birthday, Dad. Happy Derby Day. And not so much happy with what's going on with this Mets. I know all the way in, I was listening to Pete Hoffman. It was pretty Mets heavy. And I guess deservedly, first of all, they won tonight. Yay, the Mets won. Woo, doesn't happen often, so celebrate it. Although my dad did tell me the Mets are 3-0. I mean, this is coming from him. I don't know where he got it from, but the Mets are 3-0 and Bark at the Park days. So maybe, just maybe, we're going to have to put his leash back on and get Bucatino out to Bark in the Park maybe one more time. They won that game too. So, but the Mets won. I tuned it in, top of the second. They were already losing 2-0, and I was like, okay, here we go again. But in fact, they won. So, hey, that's off to the Mets. By no means do I think this is sort of a springboard type win, because if you look at the body of work that the Angels have put together, they are basically mirror, and I know you only play who's on your schedule. I get it. I understand. Point well taken. But the Angels have one win in their last 10 games. Just one. So before you get all too excited and start telling me that this is, of course, this is definitely, you know, the turnaround for the Mets, and hopefully it is, because this is getting ridiculous to keep talking about this every single day. Hopefully it is the turnaround, but there's a chance that it's not. David Stearns to Anthony DiComo. This was a quote. "We know our record is not what we want, and we know we are capable of more. We don't view this as a manager problem, but we don't intend, and we don't intend to make a change." Well, if it's not a manager problem, if that's not how you see it, then it is a what problem? A player's not playing up to the back of their baseball cards problem? Partly that. Manager problem? Definitely partly that. The biggest problem is the general manager problem. That is the biggest problem. And then David Stearns basically told you that without telling you that. And if you really, I mean, look, Austin Slater to continually hit instead of NJ Melendez, that is a managerial decision. I will never actually understand. What is this fixation with Austin Slater hitting instead of MJ Melendez, who outside of Juan Soto, look at their bat, and I know it's been a smaller sample size for Melendez, no fault of his own, but Austin Slater to continually hit in his spot does not make any sense. I want you to tell me which one does not belong, which one does not fit the others. Boston Red Sox, Philadelphia Phillies, New York Mets. Which one does not fit? Red Sox, Phillies, Mets. Of course it's the Mets. They're still hanging on to that status quo. They're still doing the same thing every single day after posting a 280 win percentage for the month of April. 280. 7 wins, 18 losses, and they are just going to keep everything exactly as is. I can't understand it. Alex Cora fired. Red Sox have been 3-2, a winning record since they let him go. Rob Thompson fired. Okay. The Phillies have not lost a game since they fired Rob Thompson. They are 4-0 in the Don Mattingly era down there in Philadelphia. Why can't the Mets do it? And do I really, at this point, need to address the it's too early crowd? I mean, dude, pipe down. I ask you simply, are you with me yet? The New York Mets, who had championship aspirations when this season started. Yeah, for real. Remember that? They have the worst record in Major League Baseball. The New York Mets have been consistently bad. They are, let me just make sure, refresh the standings right here. Yes, out of the entire league of all the teams that play baseball professionally, at the Major League level, the New York Mets have the worst record in the sport. Consistently bad, and something needs to be done. You cannot continue to do the same thing over and over and over and over again and expect different results. I mean, you know what that makes you. And of course, I don't want Carlos Mendoza to lose his job. He's a nice guy. Anybody, for that matter. But sometimes, yes, you have to make a change. You have to get someone in there that is going to band this team together, because this team is not a team. This is a bunch of men playing as individuals. We talk about it every week. Oh, but Danielle, you're just making a change for the sake of making a change. You can't do that. Well, how about you think of it this way? Reword it maybe as this. Oh, but David Stearns, you blew up a core of beloved homegrown players just for the sake of making a change. Spot the lie. So this is not only on the manager, but I can't help but think that Carlos Mendoza has had over more than 1 month of the regular season, and this team is still not playing together as a team. It's just not. And by the way, why are they all hurt and missing extended time all of a sudden? Are they not wanting to play for this manager? I don't know. And as I thought about this the other day, I do a lot of thinking when I'm driving. I do a lot of driving. I'm thinking as I'm driving. I thought back to when I was at the Patriots team hotel in Santa Clara, how Mike Vrabel inherited a roster with a ton of turnover. Like for like this past season, the football season that just concluded, 55.0% of the Patriots roster was comprised of new faces. They made it to the Super Bowl. They won the conference and they made it to the Super Bowl. The Mets have made it to the toilet bowl. And if Vrabel was able to reach these players and mesh them together, Mendoza has not yet found a way. It's been over a month of regular season. And if he really is going to stick around, then I suggest, Carlos, if you're listening, you got to take a page out of Vrabel's 4-H's book. Luke Weaver can lead the way. Well, I'll play his audio, a part of it from a little bit later in the show, but he's there. He's questioning everybody's why in that clubhouse, and that's what you need. Because Vrabel's 4-H's were history, heroes, heartbreak, and hope. And every Patriot player that I talked to that morning, every one of them talked about how early in the season, very early, that exercise where they all got in a room, they opened their hearts, and they explained to each other who or what they were playing for. History, heroes, heartbreak, and hope, or hope. They all told me how that bonding experience set them up for the rest of the season. And I'll tell you right now, I would be hard-pressed to find a New York Met player that was playing for any of those 4-H's. So Vrabel found a way. And Mendoza is running out of time to find a way. And to those questioning whether or not Carlos Mendoza has lost the locker room, I ask, did he ever have it to begin with? I mean, the World Baseball Classic robbed his best players from him this spring. He had a ton of roster turnover, and the general manager put together a house of cards. Oh, but Danielle, you're just making a change for the sake of making a change. Well, you know what? Maybe, hell yeah, I am. Maybe the next manager can get these players all pulling in the same direction. I believe that's what Lindor said about two and a half weeks ago. Get them all pulling in the same direction. That tells me that they're not pulling in the same direction. Somebody in there needs to get in there and get them all pulling together in the same direction and not in the direction of me. M-E, me. Because that's what I see going on there. A lot of guys playing for me. And here, I want to, because when big things happen, I tend to tune into, on the Odyssey app, it's great. I tend to tune into different markets and radio stations when big things happen in those particular stations. Like, I was on the way here one night listening. When Tom Brady retired, I had WEEI on all the way here, and I was just listening to what was going on up in Boston. And it, no different. After they fired Alex Cora, I was locked into what was the affect. What was the situation? What was the takeaway? There's a better word for that. But what was the takeaway after the Red Sox fired Alex Cora? So I want you to take a listen. And this is the voice of Craig Breslow. And this is Craig Breslow after Alex Cora was axed.
Looking forward, it's about the amount of season that's in front of us. It's about our belief in the players, and it's about giving them every possibility to get where we want to go. We brought Trace in because we believe in his ability to connect.
So the blowback from the Red Sox fans, I mean, that's just a clip. Looking forward, think about the future, moving forward. Fine, but the blowback from the Red Sox fans has been swift and has been directly and squarely aimed at Craig Breslow and other members of that Boston front office. They don't see Cora as the problem. They never did. The front office was their problem. This is exactly what specifically David Stearns does not want. He does not want the ire aimed directly at him. He does not want the crosshairs focused directly on him. Because Carlos Mendoza is his last line of defense. It's like he's got Mendoza by the shoulders and his face to Mendoza's back, and he's ducking behind him like as if human shield. That is why the Mets are going to keep Mendoza. David Stearns doesn't want to be in the crosshairs. Why? Because it's going to expose him. The real culprit of this absolute abject failure of what the New York Mets are is the general manager. I've been saying it from the rooftop here almost. We're on the 10th floor out of 18. I've been saying it and saying it and saying it. I never liked his strategy. I never liked his spending habits. I never liked his stupid smirk that you can actually hear if you're listening for it. None of it. And you told me I was wrong. He's a genius. You know, he went to Harvard. You didn't. He has a degree in whatever the hell. You don't. Well, let me tell you something. How's it working out for you now? I'll welcome you aboard. No hard feelings. You can get on the bandwagon now. Oh, I'll welcome you in. DeComo said, Steve Cohen has given David Stearns at least some assurances that his own role is safe. I almost fell out of my chair when I read that. Like, wow. Wow. Run prevention. Yeah, that's like the running joke around here. You got your run prevention, genius. The Mets have the, what is it? Let me see. I think it's the worst. Let me just quickly look at this. I'm sorry. It's the second worst. The Mets have the second worst run differential in the league. Second only to the surging Philadelphia Phillies, who, oh, by the way, fired their manager this past week and haven't lost a game since. Prevent your own runs. That's what he meant. Now, you don't need me to tell you this, but David Stearns has created the very worst team in the entire sport. You tell me what has been working for that team. Go ahead, tell me. Nolan McLean, maybe. Outside of him, the pitching staff's been a nightmare. Number two, the positionless infields, they don't work. Number three, Carson Benj wasn't ready, and he needs a larger size pants. They're too tight on him. Maybe that'll make him play any better, but Carson Benj wasn't ready. Number four, it was a terrible miscalculation, bad allocation of monies spent this winter. The Mets are on pace to finish something like with like 53, 54 wins on the season at this pace. I mean, we can sit here until the sun comes up, and in fact, we will. But you know what I'm saying. Did you know this? I did the math. I got my calculator out. David Stearns, board genius general manager, has got almost $28 million on the Mets' books this season. Ready? Spent on players that are no longer on the team. Imagine what type of player or players a large market general manager that could have turned $28 million into. Instead, David Stearns spent it on guys that are paying. He's paying to no longer be on this team because he effed up so bad. And you know what? Actually, I don't want you to think, because I went down that route. I started looking at guys making $28 million, pitchers and position players. Don't. Just don't do it. It's going to make you even more upset. And we talked about this, how David Stearns ripped the heart, the hustle, and the soul out of this Mets team and rewarded the replacements, capital, the replacements, with essentially one-year deals. Don't you remember how Bo Bichette responded when he was asked about staying in Queens long-term? He didn't. He panicked, and he looked to the guy sitting to the left of him to answer the question for him. Now, you know this too about me. I am a huge fan of these one-year prove-it deals. I love them. But I don't love them when essentially the core of your team is built on them. Bichette, he's got a player opt-out out of this after this season. Why would he stay? Answer me that. And by the way, he's making $42 million against the luxury tax this year. $42 million. Wow. Peralta, next season, unrestricted free agent. Polanco, just a two-year deal from the beginning. I mean, this was your big haul from this winter? Are you serious? And look at the long-term superstars. Soto didn't even talk with a single Mets teammate when he was on the IL. Lindor right now? I don't know. But to the Soto thing, he's looked at, I would assume, based on the size of his contract, the number of lockers he takes up, that he's a leader in that clubhouse with that contract. And he's shying away from a leadership role? The sad part is this. On September 29th, 2025, the day after, the morning after, the Mets were mathematically eliminated last season, Steve Cohen took to Twitter. He wrote, "Mets fans everywhere, I owe you an apology. You did your part by showing up, supporting the team. We didn't do our part. We will do a post-mortem and figure out the obvious and less obvious reasons why the team didn't perform up to your and my expectations. Blah, blah, blah. I know how much time and effort you put into this team. The result was unacceptable. Your emotions show me how much you care and continues to motivate the organization to do better. Thank you to the best fans in sports." Huh. Well, I guess that post-mortem autopsy didn't reveal that the general manager was the cause of death for this team. But how could it? He's the one that performed it. And well, Steve Cohen, it looks like the clock has struck midnight on for the best fans in sports. They have had it with the operation of this team. There is a level of apathy that has settled in over this fan base of the New York Mets, and they don't deserve it. You asked them to show out, and they did. All 3,184,570 Mets fans showed up last season. Fifth in the number of fans that scanned tickets to put their fannies in the seats in your ballpark. And how did you reward them? Well, I don't see any rewards. $50 to park your car at Citi Field is actual robbery. $4 to see the Mets, for a ticket to see the Mets this past week, including fees. I just stopped on the way here. I couldn't even buy a gallon of gas for $4. That's embarrassing, Steve Cohen, that you can get in the door and sit in the seats and see a game at your stadium, in your disaster, at your circus. And maybe even more so, you can't even give the tickets away. 58% of people who claimed your free tickets didn't even show up. It's like a Survivor. The tribe has spoken. The Mets fans have spoken. And this all happened on your watch, Steve Cohen. So I want you to be, I want you to turn into that cutthroat character. And I want you to make a franchise-altering change. Can the general manager? I will take that personally as a reward for showing up last season and already again this season. But Steve Cohen won't do it. Steve Cohen will not do what is necessary. He won't make the clear and obvious change that needs to be done. So therefore, I'm sorry to say this, but the Mets, not the fans, but the Mets deserve everything that's coming to them. And I feel sorry for you, the fans, us, the fans. Because no change is the wrong message. That is the wrong answer. This, I'm very sorry, but it's shaping up to be one long summer. We just barely made it into May. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to get aboard. My name is Danielle McCart, and if for some reason, if you can't call, you can always get at me on your favorite social media platform, whatever it is. It's at Coach MCCARTAN. We'll take your calls coming up next right here on The Fan.